Hello, I'm Dawn Jarvis, nutritionist and dietitian at Garden of Life. Welcome to our podcast series, Digging Deeper. In this series, I will be discussing the latest nutritional topics, and we'll also be talking to leading scientists and industry experts to bring you the very latest up-to-date scientific information, as well as provide you with some very practical nutrition tips and information. So we hope you find our podcast both enjoyable and also helpful. Thank you for joining us. Hi, everyone. This is Dawn Jarvis. Welcome to our podcast, Digging Deeper. I'm here today with my colleague, Ryan. Welcome, Ryan.
Hey, Dawn. Thanks for having me.
And we're going to talk today about the important topic of sleep.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk to you about this, Dawn. This is what you and I call one of the core tenets of health. So let's just dive right in, Dawn. How many hours of sleep are we aiming to get every night?
Well, obviously, everyone's a little bit different here. I mean, ideally, we should be getting about 8 hours of sleep. But what we've learned over the last 2 years, Americans are getting about 2 hours less sleep than they were years ago. So I think we've all become the victims of productivity. And if it gets to choose between doing something else or sleeping, we tend to pick doing an activity and being more productive over sleep. But that's something that really will impact our health as we're going to get into. So we should aim for 8, but 6 to 9 is probably a range.
I think we forget about the importance of sleep and how getting a good night's sleep can actually make us more effective and more impactful in our waking state. So, you know, let's talk about that, Dawn. When we get a good night's sleep, what is happening? And when we don't get a good night's sleep, what is happening?
Well, as we've just said, it's really important to prioritize sleep over other activities because what's going on in the body when we're asleep is really, really important. What we're doing is we're doing a lot of repairing and rebuilding. We're also doing things like detoxifying our nervous system. So there's a whole bunch of cleanup and repair and getting us set up for the next day. So a lack of sleep will mean that we don't get those important biological processes done. So we're going to wake up groggy and tired and be less efficient in many, many ways.
Interesting. And Dawn, you and I have talked about this term, the glymphatic system. And a lot of people have heard of the lymphatic system, which is the fluids in the body that helps flush out anything that's kind of spent up or used. But there's another system that's called the glymphatic system that Dr. Perlmutter has taught us about. And it's actually how the brain starts to circulate out some of those inflammatory compounds. And the most important time for this system to be regenerated and activated and effective is during these deep REM sleep cycles. And so our brain is literally cleansing itself, renewing itself, repairing itself during these deep sleeping states.
Yes, that's so important. And we all know that being sleep deprived isn't a good thing. We know it's dangerous to do things like driving when we're sleep deprived. But there are a lot of very interesting studies. Obviously, Dr. Perlmutter, as we know, is a neurologist. And I recently heard him speaking about some of the scientific studies on this. And you know, what they've done is they've taken different groups of adult students and they put them into two groups and they give one their 8 hours sleep. And the other group is sleep deprived. And what they find, there's a difference between the groups in their decision-making afterwards, because we do a lot of our decision-making using the prefrontal cortex of the brain. So the front of the brain helps us to do logical thinking and make good decisions. But when we're sleep deprived, these studies have shown us that the decision-making moves to a different part of the brain called the amygdala. And that's when we get poor decision-making. I'm not only talking about how the decision-making is affected, but how it actually leads into our bodies because, you know, there's a whole issue, a link to this. You know, when we are deprived of sleep, we become more hungry. And this is all due to the hormone ghrelin. So we make more of the hormone ghrelin, which makes us hungry. And so this goes up when we're sleep deprived, we become more hungry. And then added to that, we make poor food choices. So there's this vicious cycle of being hungry and eating poorly and making bad choices and gaining weight and not sleeping. And we get into that pattern.
Wow. So having an insufficient amount of sleep can lead to poor decision making. And that poor decision making can lead to our body actually craving more of these stimulating, sugary, maybe more processed foods. That's That is very interesting. And I think that speaks to the importance of sleep, not only just for sleep's sake, but also for the sake of what we're eating and our exercise routines as well. And Don, one of the studies you and I love talking about is when they took working individuals and one study group received a cup of coffee midday, the other study group was allowed to take a nap for 20 minutes. And after the cup of coffee and after the nap, they took these two groups independently and they gave them cognitive tests where they challenged them to see how their focus and their retention was working after either a cup of coffee or after the nap. And consistently, these clinical trials were showing that the individuals who took the nap were doing much better than the individuals that received the cup of coffee. And in fact, the cup of coffee could have even shown declination in benefits towards cognition and focus versus the placebo who received nothing. And so I just think the picture that that study paints, not that it is the only study we should look at in terms of sleep, but I think it shows us that going to another cup of coffee or another stimulant or more sugar or some of those more stimulating compounds, maybe we should really tap in and ask our body, hey, is coffee the right tool for the job right now? Or is a 20-minute nap going to be the most effective tool to help me complete this day? So, Don, I wanted to talk to you about sleep hygiene, how to schedule a good night's sleep, and just talk about some of the tips and tricks that we can use to support ourselves in getting a good night's sleep. Can you unpack some of those?
Yes. And actually, the first one I'll unpack is one that I know you practice, and we've spoken about this before, you and I, and it's actually setting an alarm. And of course, most people will set an alarm to get up in the morning, but it's actually setting an alarm at night to prepare yourself to get a good night's rest. It's setting yourself up, if you will, for success in terms of going to bed. So many people say that, you know, having such a busy life that they've got so much going on. We've all got this monkey brain thinking of a thousand things we need to do. And so we need to start winding down and slowing the mind down and getting calm and relaxed so that when we actually do go to bed, our brains are ready to turn off and fall asleep and they're not racing. So setting ourselves an alarm, maybe, you know, it's an hour before we go to bed, saying, okay, I have an hour now to unwind. And there's various things that we can do in that hour in preparation for a good night's sleep. So that might start with whether it's turning off the television, turning off the computer, disconnecting from your phone, getting rid of the electronics. That's probably a good thing and most of us are guilty of doing. So that's something I need to work on, I know. So taking off the electronics. The second thing would be temperature. Our bodies should actually be a little bit cooler in order to fall asleep. So I usually adjust my thermostat to about 73. Obviously, here in Florida, it's pretty hot and people don't sleep well when it's too hot at night. So keeping the room at a comfortable temperature is really, really important. And then thirdly, I think darkness is really important. You know, if you think back to our ancestors, they went to bed when it got dark and they got up in the morning when the sun rose. So our bodies, you know, a program that way. So, you know, maybe dimming down some lights, having a nice quiet room that's a little bit darker. And then when you actually go to bed is actually having darkness in the room and not having TVs on or lights and lamps, you know, too close to you. So darkness, I think, is very helpful as well.
Wow, those are such amazing recommendations. So we establish a sleep schedule so that we're consistent and our body knows when it's time to go to sleep. We start turning off those electronics, dimming the lights, and we start to drop that temperature as well to notify our body that, hey, it's time for us to transition into a good night's sleep. So that is wonderful. What about some techniques that we can use maybe right before we go to bed that kind of help turn our mind off, kind of that monkey mind and that to-do list mind? Is there any practices or suggestions that you have that can help us kind of filter out some of those ruminating thoughts so that we can kind of decompress before a good night's sleep?
Yes, I definitely have a habit that I found to be very helpful. And that's to actually make a list, you know, sit and think, you know, maybe it's opening in a planner or before you close down your computer, what appointments do I have tomorrow? What do I have to get done? What do I need to be prepared for? And making that list of the things that you don't want to forget. And I learned this because in my past life, I've jumped up in the middle of the night in a panic thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to do this tomorrow. And in desperation, if there's no pen on my nightstand, I've jumped up and written on the bathroom mirror with a lipstick so I don't forget the important task. So I don't like getting up in the middle of the night and doing those things. I would much rather have a restful night. So just having a notepad on the nightstand, or as I say, before you shut down your electronics, just make a little list, and that way you have peace of mind.
I love that. I totally agree. So yeah. I have to ask you, what about supplements? What are some good supplements that help us kind of wind down and transition into a good night's sleep?
Well, this actually sort of connects in, because I was also going to say some people, their routine might be prayers or yoga or meditation. And along with that, the first supplement that sort of links into that would be the use of essential oils. Oh, some people might take a relaxing bath and put their lavender oil in the bath. Or it might be that you have a diffuser of lavender oil while you're doing your meditation or saying your prayers. So lavender oil is definitely a good one for relaxing. I like to spritz my linen. I take a water bottle and put in a few drops of lavender. So that helps me. Lavender on my pillow is a good thing. But when it comes to other supplements, obviously right now, a lot of people are still very stressed with everything that's going on. And so CBD is popular. And as you know, we have the CBD sleep former, which I think is great. You may not need to take it every night, but if you've had a particularly stressful day and the kids' homework was really difficult today or whatever it's been, your grandparents have been driving you crazy. We love them, but you know, there's CBD sleep for you. And I really like that because it's got vitamin D in. And a lot of the clinicals now are showing that low levels of vitamin D are associated with poor sleep. So I think that's a very interesting finding. So I'm definitely going to recommend vitamin D for many reasons, particularly immune health, but vitamin D is also great for sleep as well. We have in our My Kind, our herbal organic line, we have a sleep formulas in tablets and a spray form. You may not need both, and you may not need to take them every night, but certainly the spray is great for traveling when we're able to go back to traveling. But these contain organic lemon balm and chamomile, so very relaxing, soothing herbs, and they're formulated to help you fall asleep and then to stay asleep, which is really important.
Wow, that's great. That is great. You know, while we're talking, I'm thinking about my own sleep routine. And something simple that I like to do prior to turning in for the night is just to say, hey, you know what? Maybe today was really challenging. Maybe there were some things that didn't go exactly how I wanted them to go. However, look at these things that I can be grateful for. You know, I have my family, I have my food on my table, and I have a great company that I work for, or whatever the things are that you find to be grateful for. It's just a good way of really bookmarking that end of the day so that you remember before you go to sleep that, hey, you know what? I do have a lot to be grateful for in my life. And that's just a tool that I use, Dawn. So I wanted to share that as one more resource.
Yeah, you know, for some people, it might be including that in their prayers or their relaxation. So I think that's really great advice, Ryan. The other thing we need to talk about, we've talked about supplements that are good for you to help you fall asleep. And then there are some that maybe you don't want to take at bedtime. So obviously, we all know that we don't want to take caffeine too late in the day. And that's a very individual thing as well. You know, I personally like, and being English, I like to have cups of tea in the afternoon, but I try not to have too much caffeine after 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But for other people who are more caffeine sensitive, it might be no caffeine after lunch. So keeping off of caffeine, obviously, we don't want too much sugar that energizes us. It's not good for us and inflammation anyway. But I would say don't take a lot of B vitamins later in the day. We know things like B12 are very energizing. So it's usually best to take those in the morning. And you know, when you're doing more vigorous exercise in the morning, that's when the B vitamins would be great for energy. And I also find that doing more exercise in the morning and lighter exercise, such as just going for a walk in the evening as opposed to doing any heavy exercise, is good for me. Often, you know, if I do heavier exercise at night, then I'm fired up and I don't unwind as well. So for a lot of people, that might be something to consider as well.
I totally agree. Well, thank you so much, Dawn, for sharing all your wisdom and giving us some insight into how to set up a good night's sleep. You know, so often we think of sleep as this passive activity, but I think what we learned from you is that sleep requires a little bit of dedication, a little bit of forethought, and a little bit of tinkering to figure out how do we set ourselves up for the best night's sleep possible. So I really appreciate you sharing some supplements, some insight, and even some mindfulness practices that we can use to ensure that we're getting a good night's sleep.
Yeah, thank you, Ryan. As we've discussed today, lack of sleep leads to poor decision-making, which affects our food choices. It can affect our mood, our weight gain, and even some brain fog. So it's so important that we don't sacrifice sleep for other things. We make sleep a priority. It will definitely pay off and give us better energy and help us to make smarter choices and hopefully give us some peace of mind. So I hope you all get a good night's sleep, and we trust that you will join us again for another podcast. Thank you. Be safe. Sleep well.
Thank you for listening. Hope you found this information helpful. This is Dawn Jarvis wishing you extraordinary health. Goodbye until next time.